Hey, I want to talk to you again about vision. I mentioned this last week. I'm flying on Saturday to the United States to speak at a camp over there for young people, and I wanted to share some of the vision stuff with them, A, because it's fun, and B, because there's a lot of truth in it. I mean, last week we saw how sight is not, we talk about 2020 vision, that's not true, it's 2020 sight. We can see, that's all it is. Vision is where we actually put understanding behind our sight and we can understand what's going on. It's not enough to see, we have to strive to understand. It's true in our physical world, it's also true in the spiritual world. You can't just go bam and have instant understanding. You have to learn spiritually as well as physically. Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. So Jesus says this. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, if we want to live an abundant, a wonderful life, we need to make sure that our vision is healthy, because otherwise we'll be filled with darkness. So to get our spiritual perspective right in life and in everything, it's really important that we get it right. So vision is in fact seeing things God's way. That's what true vision is. It's about perspective. It happens when we see things from God's perspective. It's like a clear mountain day when you can see forever. Have you ever stood on top of, up at Mullaney or something, and you've looked down and you can see Brisbane in the distance because it's so clear? Have you ever seen that? That's what God's vision is like. He can see right into eternity. I remember once actually being in Germany. Guten Morgen to all of my German friends. There's many of you, I know. We love you. I was actually in Germany, but the coolest thing was that we were taken to a mountain in Bavaria, and you could stand in Germany and look over Austria to Italy. How good is that? Three countries right across the top of the world. It was an amazing experience just to see that. And that's what God's vision is like. It's just, he just sees incredible things that we do not. And how do you gain God's perspective? Well, for many years, mankind's been trying to do it. They've been trying, they think if they get more religious, they'll sort of get it, get God's view of life. That's what religion is about. Religion is man's way of trying to reach up to God. Saying, if I do this, if I keep this ritual, if I do this, or if I say this, or if I pray this, then God's going to hear me and I'm going to see things his way. But it doesn't work, because that's the difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world. The religions of the world is man reaching up to God, but Christianity is God in the person of Jesus reaching down to man and pulling him up to himself and saying, I will bridge the gap. See, being more religious won't help you see through life's troubles. Because it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Matthew 13 says this, verse 15, Jesus said, these people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear. With their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus was talking about the religious people. He said they might look religious, but they can't hear anything. They can't see anything correctly. And all the religions in the world is not going to do it for you, I can tell you now. See, it depends on what you see. And you can sort of choose to see things either God's way or some other way. Have a look at this. I don't know if you can see it from where you are. Thank you, Zonia. Do you see angels or demons? Let's zero in a little bit. You'll see what I mean. Angels or demons? See, you can choose. You can choose one or the other. And they're both there, but you can choose the one you want. So the thing is, we can choose what we want, but a lot of times we choose an illusion that isn't really there. See, but let me talk about the illusions that we live for. See, much of modern life is an advertising, especially to try and sell us things that aren't real. We love escapism and illusions. Who likes movies? I do. The great thing about a movie is you can escape. For an hour or an hour and a half, you can pretend you're somewhere else with someone else's life. You know, you can pretend you're James Bond or Jason Bourne or someone like that when you'll never be that person. But you can pretend for an hour. See, we love illusions. Well, a mirage, how many of you have seen mirages? You know what I'm talking about? It's an illusion. It's commonly seen on flat areas, especially when it's hot. Now, it's actually an optical illusion. There is no water out there. But it looks like there's water all over the road, doesn't it? What an incredible thing. When do you see it? You would swear on a stack of Bibles that there's water across that road, but there's not. And the thing about it, the closer you get to it, the further away it moves. You can never really obtain it. Why? Because it doesn't actually exist. It's just something that you are fooled into thinking. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 and 15 says this, "No wonder even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." You know, Satan loves to fool, he loves to pull the wool over your eyes and make you think there's something out there to go for that isn't really there. And we have to recognize that the devil does this and he loves doing it to us. And he's constantly trying to distort our vision, to convince us to strive for things that ultimately cause disappointment, disillusionment, and that ultimately don't exist. What am I talking about? Fame, fortune, money and success, they seem like clearly visible goals, but when you get there, they never satisfy. Try chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, I've chased a few rainbows in my time. You ever chase one? And the closer, I can't find a pot of gold there. That's my caravan, that's my pot of gold. But anyway, I took this photo just recently. Went right out to the edge, right out to where it hit the ground. There's no gold there. And when I got there, it had moved already. So you can chase rainbows, but the closer you get to it, the more it moves. Listen to this. University of Sydney psychology professor Diana Kelly studied 12,665 musicians and pop stars and movie stars who died between 1950 and 2014. And concluded this, that the chances of famous musicians and rock stars and movie stars dying from unnatural causes is 10 times greater than a normal person. Through things like suicide and drug overdose, of course. They tend to die, listen to this, movie stars and pop stars tend to die 25 years younger than average people. Did you know that? You see, they're chasing some, but it's an illusion. See, in life, if we chase fame, fortune, and success, they're like a mirage. They're like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It isn't really there. And it's bound. If we go for those things, we will ultimately be disillusioned and disappointed. We will. J.D. Rockefeller, the richest man in the world at the time, was asked, "How much money is enough?" And he replied, "Just a little more." The richest man in the world wants just a little more. I'd like him to give to that offering. Anyway, that's just me. See, the thing is, your vision can be distorted. Even if we're striving for the right things in life, our vision can be distorted. Even if what you're going for is real and it's good, you can still distort your vision by things around it. And the devil brings influence around it to try and make you not see clearly. So your vision can look like that and be... I hope none of you look like that and be distorted. So what kind of things distort our vision? We looked at some of them last week. I want to touch on these and others today. First of all, ignorant seeing. If you don't have enough knowledge, you cannot understand what you are seeing. And vision is not just seeing it. Remember, it is understanding it. Now, when I look at this, I would say I'm a reasonably intelligent person. I've got a couple of uni degrees and I've been an optometrist for 35 years. I'm reasonably intelligent, but I look at that and I cannot tell you what that says. Does that mean I'm dumb? Don't comment on that. Does it mean I'm dumb? Am I stupid because I can't tell what that means? Can you tell me what that means? One of you here can tell me what that means. Right? But most of us, we don't know. Does it mean we're stupid and dumb? No, it means we don't have the code. We're missing knowledge. Now, Cindy would tell you, of course, that that is the Chinese symbol for crisis, which is very famous because it's made up of two, apparently. She could tell me this is what the literature said. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. It's a combination of danger and opportunity. The word for crisis. That's what they say in the internet. And, of course, I will believe Cindy before I believe the internet. But just because you can't figure that out doesn't mean you're dumb. It means you're missing information. Hosea 4 verse 6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. God is saying, because you don't have enough knowledge, you're going to get destroyed. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean we need to hit the internet and start seeking knowledge? We've got more knowledge than ever before in the history of mankind right now in your phone. You can have access to more knowledge than anyone in the history of the world. It's not about the volume of knowledge. It's about the type of knowledge. See, the knowledge to see things clearly and wisely doesn't come from the internet. I know it tells you it does, but it doesn't. You see, it's not from the internet. It's not from man's opinion. It's not from watching TV or YouTube. It's not from attaining some spiritual encounter. It's none of this stuff. The way to get knowledge to live only comes from one way, and that is knowing God. That's the knowledge that changes everything when you know God and knowing Him intimately. And you only get to know Him intimately when you read His Word. That's how you get to know God. So I urge you, all of you, pick up the Bible and read it. Because, you know, it will change your life. We've got a Bible reading plan. Just start tomorrow. Pick it up and read it and just follow the plan. If you're not reading your Bible, you are missing out. Some people say, I don't have time to read a Bible. I say, do the bathroom test. Do you go to the bathroom every day? Is that a personal question? I don't usually ask that in church. But if you do, take a Bible with you. You'll be seated for a period of time. Just read while you're seated. I'm pretty sure God can handle the smell. And you will get to know Him because you're sitting down reading your Bible every day. So don't tell me you don't have time to do it. Everybody does that at least. But unless you know Him, you don't have the code to decipher what's going on. See, that's what optical illusions are. We're messing around, but that's what they are. What happens in an optical illusion, they use knowledge you do have and some knowledge you don't have, and they put it together to trick you into thinking something exists when it doesn't really exist. That's the fun of it. Have a look at this. Is that two birds? No, it's one bird and some leaves. Have a look at the next one. Oh, I love this stuff. This is art that people draw on the ground. But does that look amazingly real or what? It's only real because you have knowledge of what this should look like. And you fill in the blanks and you make this real. So that's the first thing. If you lack knowledge, you're not going to see things clearly. The second thing is reverse seeing. You cannot drive a car looking only in the rearview mirror. Have you tried doing that? I can't even use those rearview cameras, you know, because they just, it's weird, isn't it? Like they give you some sort of vision of it, but, you know, it's like backing back, we're backing back, crunch, stop, you know, because you can't say, it doesn't look right to me. And that's what it's like. If you try and drive while looking in the rear vision mirror, you won't get anywhere fast. It will be very difficult. And you cannot live your life constantly looking back, letting past hurts and criticisms and pain affect you. You see, learning is a product of what you see, your vision, what you see, plus your experience. Okay, that's why I love watching young kids as they start to grow, they start to reach and grab things, and they're learning by experience. You know, so you know this is hard and cold because you know what it's made of metal and you can see that and you go, okay, well, that's going to be hard and cold because you have experience. And what we see and what we understand is greatly influenced by our past. If we only rely on our past, though, good or bad, the enemy can convince us of things that don't exist. Have a look at this. Can anybody see that moving? Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Well, that movement's not there, of course, but what's happening is we're playing a trick on your eyes to make you think it's moving. How about this one? If you look at one of those circles, can you see the other ones moving? Isn't that weird? It's not there, of course. And if you move your head back and forward, you'll see the inner circle. Just look at this one on this side and move your head back and forward, just kind of like this. Okay, now I want you filming this because this looks fantastic. But can you see the movement? It's not really there, but we can convince ourselves that movement is there. See, for many of us, our sight is affected by what we've previously learned. And so we bring that into play, and that's what happens. I touched on it last week when I said you're not an accident. You're precious, you're special, and God created you, and He knows you best. So no matter what's been said about you in the past, no matter what your reputation, no matter what you've done, no matter what others think of you, no matter even what you think of you, you have to learn what God thinks of you, because that's far more important. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God writes this to Jeremiah. He says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was appointed as a prophet to the nations before his birth, before he was formed in the womb. That's why Fiona and I started Lily House. Because we realize that we needed to save babies because they were full of potential and God has a plan for them, even before they're born. So some of you have been deeply hurt in your past by experiences, by words spoken over you, and you need to break that curse because God sees you as a person of destiny. Doesn't matter how bad you've been, doesn't matter what a screw-up you've been, God sees you as a person of destiny. And you know, it's time for you to not give those things in the past power they shouldn't have over your life right now. You know, forgiveness is a big thing. If you talk about forgiveness, it's probably the major cause of depression and even physical illness in our country. Lack of forgiveness. Someone does you wrong, you feel justified, and so you hang on to it. But not forgiving someone who's hurt you is like drinking poison hoping the other guy dies. It doesn't work. You only hurt yourself. So we need to make the past become past at last. See, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says this, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." So if you are in Christ, you're not the old person. He doesn't renovate your house. He builds a new one. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the old sin has lost its hold on you. The old criticisms have no power. The old life, the old reputation, the old addictions, whatever it is, can be overcome because you are a new creation. Psalm 138 verse 8 says this, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." God will fulfill his purpose for you. Isn't that exciting? So the only thing holding you back from your destiny is your decision to follow God into your destiny. Don't hold on to the past and try to drive looking in the rearview mirror. Now, the third thing that can affect us is polluted seeing. External things can affect how we see. And when we allow stuff in our head that distorts our vision, we have no one else to blame except us because we are the gatekeepers of our minds and our hearts. Psalm 101 verse 2 says this, "I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." And so often in this world, we put things in front of our eyes that is worthless. Even worse than worthless, it is destructive. And we let this stuff into our heads. I mentioned it last week. I mentioned it again. Garbage in, garbage out. If we let rubbish TV, trashy reality shows, over-sexualized music, extreme violence in movies and games or pornography or anything into our minds, it opens up our minds to distortion. That's why Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If you put trashy stuff in your head, it ruins your spiritual vision. So be careful what TV shows and movies you watch, what internet sites you hit. So studies have been done and it's really true. If you watch angry, violent movies and play violent video games, you will become a more angry person. You just will. Particularly if you're young and impressionable. If you watch pornography, you will begin to see a sexualized image of women everywhere. Every woman you meet, you'll start to project this sexualized image on if you fill your mind with that stuff. So why would you do it? Why put that junk in your head? The Bible, worship songs, great teaching and coming to church, that's what renews your mind, not watching that junk out there. It keeps your thoughts positive and godly, pure and wholesome. It makes you a better husband or wife, a better mother or father, and it makes you a better human being. Philippians 4 verse 8, I mention it often, I love this verse. Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because, you know, this stuff is not new with the internet. This stuff has been here for years. And so often we fill our minds with junk. Thanks, Sonia. Here's an example. Those two lines are actually perfectly parallel, but how many of you find they're kind of bowing a little bit? See, the external things are affecting how you see it. Thanks, Sonia. And this one's weird. This is the internal thing. So they're actually two perfect circles. Do they look like perfect circles to you? No, because what's internal is affecting you. So what's outside can affect it, but also what's inside can affect how you see something. Just incredible. Thanks. Here's another one. These two lines are the same. These two inner lines are the same. From here to here is exactly the same as that, but it's the external things that come in and change the way you see it. Isn't that fun? How many of you feel incredibly, wonderfully made that you're putting all this together and getting it wrong? Brilliant. Thanks, Sonia. The next one I want to talk about is negative seeing, because, you know, some people are really, really negative. In optometry, we have a phenomenon which is called a negative afterimage, where the retinal photoreceptors, rods and cones, adapt to overstimulation and they lose their sensitivity. The photopigment is bleached out of them. See, many people are perpetually negative. You might know a few people like this. You might be one of these people, you know, the sort of the glass half empty sort of guy. You know, we should be optimistic. We live in a phenomenal country. We serve an infinite God. And yet we get so down and some of us just get so negative. You get bashed into that over time. Some people have had so many negative experiences that they project these experiences on everything. You might describe yourself as a glass half empty kind of guy. But if you are that person, you will never rise above the cares of this world. They will always get you because you always see them in a negative light. So whatever your past experience, it's time to change your stinking thinking into positive thinking, life-giving thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says this, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive. So when you have a negative thought, and look, we all do, don't we? You know, support some of the football teams I support. You always have negative thoughts. You go into a game, you think, oh, gosh, we're going to win. We're not going to win this one. You know, when you have those negative thoughts, don't entertain them. Don't invite them in. For goodness sake, don't make up a bed and let them sleep in the spare room. Don't do it. You know, when they come in, you want to capture that thought, neutralize it and get rid of it, because negativity is infectious and it will ruin your spiritual vision. If you get negative, everything will seem negative. Now, let me give you a few examples here. You've got to bear with me a little bit on this. Have a look at this. So look right here at the Queen's nose. Just stare at it. Don't stare anywhere else. Don't look to the right or to the left. Just stare at it. Complain. Don't move your eyes at all. Next one, Sonia. Can you see her? Blink a few times if you can't. Can you see her there? And this is not, that's a black and white picture. Try this one. Look at this little cross right here, right in the middle. So just look at it. Don't look anywhere else. The trick, if you move your eyes, this doesn't work. What we're doing is we're bleaching the photopigments. We're giving you a negative afterimage. Next one. Blink a couple of times and you've got our flag in colour, what's more. How good is that? How about this one? For those of you who are, you know, classicists, look right at the Mona Lisa's nose. Look at all the shading in there. Take it away. It's incredible. See, but we can project these images on all sorts of things. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How cool is that? Thanks, Sonia. Now, another form of seeing is selective seeing. This is a photo of a retina. It's not my retina, but it's quite a nice retina, I'm sure you'll agree. Now, every person, you and I, all of us have a blind spot. You see where this optic disc is here? This is the blind spot. There are no photoreceptors in there. You can't see in that spot. And what our brain does is it fills it in so we don't even know it's there. You haven't got a hole in your vision. You just blank it out. But it's a blind spot. I'll show you this in a moment. For some of you, it's all about angles. We'll try to do it. But we all of us have blind spots in our life. Things we don't want to look at, things we don't want to admit. And we have a blind spot for those things in our life. I remember, mums and dads often have a blind spot with their kids. Is that right? How many of you know other parents like that? Aha! There you go. They see their kids as little angels despite an obvious trail of destruction behind them. And many of us have blind spots to our own faults as well. Years ago, my brother-in-law's daughter used to hit and hurt my girls. And we'd go visiting the family functions, and my girls would always get smashed by this other girl. And we'd said to them, "You don't hit back, you don't hit back." Well, he came to me one time. I gently mentioned to him, "You know, your daughter is smashing my girls to pieces here. Could you please, you know, help us?" And he said, "Well, I'm bringing up weakling princesses and that they should toughen up. Thanks very much." So the next time we went to visit, the girls came to me and begged that they could defend themselves. So I said, "Just this once." I did say that. Well, it only took about 2 minutes, and the father was in my face accusing me of raising a brood of thugs. And but you know, we have blind spots for our kids. He couldn't see with his kids, and of course my kids are perfect and beautiful. So in the eye we have this blind spot where the optic disc is situated. And I think also of the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, it says this: "How can you say to your brother," Jesus says, "let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you can take the speck out of the other guy's eye." And you see, we have blind spots for our faults. And many times we criticize in others the faults that we actually have. Have you noticed that? Well, we're going to try this and see how we go. I don't know how we'll go. I'm going to try it two ways here. So, that's not going to work. Go to the next slide, please. What you need to do is everybody cover your left eye. No, the other left. Cover your left eye. And look at this. And you'll find, some of you will find that yellow spot disappears. How many of you can see that from where you are? A few of you, yeah? Some of you will be too far away and it won't work. So it's all about angles and stuff. But you have to trust me, if I do this, I can pretty much get it disappearing. So see, we have a blind spot. You don't know it's there, but it is blind. We need to know our blind spots. The sixth thing is foggy vision or fogged seeing. Fiona and I once visited a beautiful mountain. Now, we paid 40 euros because we wanted to see that. Just this stunning view across the Alps. We paid 40 euros each and had several cable car rides right up into the snow. We got to the very top of what's called the Tabletop of Salzburg, and I took a photo to show you how beautiful it was, and it looked like this. We paid 80 euros to see grey. Blank. Obviously, the clouds had rolled in. And so Fiona turned to me and said, "Look, the mountains aren't there." As a bit of a joke. But of course, the mountains are there, aren't they? What's the problem? The problem is our vision is obscured by fog, by smoke and mirrors. See, and sometimes in our lives, in our society, the truth is there, but it's obscured by all the stuff that we are fed, and so it fogs our vision and we don't see it correctly or at all. The enemy is really good at this, and typically he uses the media to cloud our vision. Now, the media is really, really good at this. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. It says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. The God of this world just gets out there and pours, you know, fog across everything, and it looks like that. And he says, "See, there's no mountains." And most people in our society go, "Yeah, I can't see them. There's no mountains." See, if the enemy can blow enough smoke or double speak to people, they will be blinded to the truth. And even the vision of believers can be blinded. I had a conversation during the week with a very lovely guy who is a pastor in another denomination who very enthusiastically told me that gay marriage was a great idea. And I said, you know, I enthusiastically tell you it's not a great idea. It's definitely not a God idea, and that I won't be doing it. And I said, we have to agree to disagree, which we did very nobly. But, you know, even people who should know better can get blinded by this stuff, blown in their face. And our society is an expert at renaming things. See, this is part of the enemy's plan to fog your vision. He renames everything into something that is less offensive. So, if, for example, we don't talk about adultery anymore. We talk about having an affair. We don't talk about homosexual marriage. We talk about marriage equality. How could you say you don't agree with equality? Everyone wants to be equal. We don't talk about abortion. We don't talk about an unborn baby as being a person. We talk about a fetus. You see, the enemy keeps changing all the language to smoke up our vision so we don't see things correctly. We try and dehumanize a child, trying to obscure the fact that the number one cause of death in Australia is not heart disease, suicide, or car crash. It is abortion. That is terrible for the country that we know and love. See, Christians, we need to guard our hearts and our minds and guard what we believe and be wary of the smoke and the fog and the mirrors that the media throws at us. Otherwise, we will find ourselves being convinced of things that are not true and unable to live and think the way God wants us to. Let's have a look at some. Let's mess with our heads a little bit more. Read these out as fast as you can go. Read the words out. Sounds like you're speaking in tongues. Okay, that's not as easy as you think. How many of you started saying the colour? Nobody. Smart people. Because many people do say the colour. Okay, if you're that smart, read this. Isn't it amazing what your mind can do? You can add meaning when that's not what it's saying because it's all random symbols. But you're filling in the gaps. As long as the first and last bit's there, you can figure it out. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we need to pray and seek God about moral issues and not fall for popular ideas because it affects the way you see important things in life and blows smoke and mirror. So let me finish with this. It all comes down to what you focus on. You see, there's a simple way that you can begin to live the life God wants you to live. And that is by focusing on Jesus. George Lucas, the director of Star Wars, once said, "Your focus determines your reality. And when you focus on problems, you get more problems. When you focus on possibilities, you see more opportunities. When you focus on what you want, you become selfish. And when you focus on Jesus, you can live a significant, godly, righteous life." Focus is like the edge of a knife. The narrower it gets, the sharper it cuts. And so we need to narrow our focus onto Jesus and not all the other stuff that is dished up to us on the internet and the TV every day. What you focus on in life every day is what determines how you run the race. See, the human eye is an amazing thing and it is plugged into an amazing brain. And we've looked at all the pressures that distort our true spiritual vision from those inside of us, outside of us, you know, after images that we carry with us, things that confuse us and fog us up. But Colossians 3 verse 2 says this beautiful word, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." Now the Greek word for set your mind is the word phronio, which means to set your mind, direct it, exercise it, seek for it, strive for it. A fair translation would be to focus your mind on things above, on God's view, not your view, on God himself, not what the TV says, not what the world says, not your past, what God sees. And we will never see what God sees until we know him. And we will never know him until we focus on him. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2 is a famous verse. I love this verse. I'm going to read it in two translations. First of all, in the NIV. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off sin and everything that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Message puts it this way. How many of you like The Message? It's really good for a different view. Listen to what it says from The Message, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Isn't that cool? So we need to fix our eyes on him. Graham Cook said, what we focus on, we give power to. If you focus on your problems, you give them power. If you focus on your inadequacies, you give them power. But if you focus on Jesus, you give him power in your life. We sing that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. What is it? Look full at his wonderful face. And what? The things of earth grow strangely dim. Have a look at this. I want you to fix your eyes on that dot. You can see there's a mist around the dot. When you fix your eyes on that dot, the mist disappears. Doesn't it? Can you see that? So when you look at that dot, the mist that's around it disappears, because when you turn your eyes on Jesus, the things of earth grow strangely dim. When you focus on something, your brain shuts down the bits it doesn't need, the periphery, and allows you to focus right on that area. Now, we've talked about negative after images, but I want to finish with a positive after image. If you turn your eyes upon Jesus, if you fix your sight on him, then you will see changes that will last forever in your life. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. But we don't. We seek money. We seek success. We seek a family. We seek all of those things. And we don't realize if we just focused on Jesus, we get all of that as well. If you trust him for that, you don't even have to make it happen. He makes it happen. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, if we do that, then all of the things you need in life, he will supply. You can trust him because he'll never let you down. So let me give you this one to finish up. Have a look right in the middle at the red heart. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look to the right or to the left. Just focus on the red heart. Because, of course, what will happen when we go to the next slide is that's the image you need to put on things. You see him? Blink a few times. You see him? If you could project Jesus onto every part of your life would change forever. But if you don't know this Jesus, how are you going to project him on your life? You don't even know who he is. It's important that we find out who Jesus is and we get it right. So as we move forward, as I wrap up this morning, I want you to think about what you are focusing on in your life. And I want to invite you to join with me and to focus on Jesus. Would you bow your heads? I want you to seek your heart. Seek the Lord right now. Just ask God, am I focusing on you, or am I focusing on my problems, my family, everything else? Just ask the Lord right now, what are you focusing on? Just look deep in your heart. I believe that there are people here who love the Lord. And most of you here love the Lord. But some of you here are projecting negative images on things. You can't help it. You just feel negative about a whole bunch of stuff. Some of you here, you just find your focus is wavered. You know, you just start to focus on business, or you start to focus on family, and you find you take your eyes off Jesus. But this morning is the day when we get it right. This morning is the day when we say, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. Whatever it is that you're focusing on, you need to lay it aside and focus on Jesus. So this morning I want to do something different. I'm going to call you to focus on Jesus right now. I'm going to ask you to focus your eyes upon him, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, and to let the things of earth just fade away. And I'm going to ask you to respond to him today. We're not going to call you forward today. What I'm going to do is ask you to stand where you are if you agree to focus on Jesus.